Also, for next Sunday, we're kicking off a new series based on my book. And so if you did not pick up a copy of my book, Core Life, it is available out in the lobby. We will not just go word for word through the book. What I'll be preaching on are the topics that are in this book. So this book is different than what I'll be giving as content for the next 4 weeks, but they will go together. And so if you have the book, I would encourage you to be reading it or rereading it as we go through January. Today, it's kind of an in-between Sunday. And for me, this time of the year, I always start probably around Thanksgiving, starting to think about the new year. All right, honestly, I know Christmas has still got to come and all those things, but my mind just starts going on what's God want to do in this next year? What does he have for me? What's he have for our church? What does God want to do in 2026? And so I want you today to get ready for what God has for you in 2026. And here's what I want to say right out the gate. He has more for you. Okay, I know that. It's the kind of God that he is. He has more for you in 2026 than what you have experienced up to this point. Paul talks about greater and greater things that he reveals to us as we grow in him. Matter of fact, I want to read a scripture to start us off today, and then I'm going to give you some theological understanding of a principle that's in the Bible that maybe, if you haven't been to Crossroads, part of Crossroads for a while, if maybe you've attended other churches or whatever that looks like, you may never have heard the teaching that I am going to give to you today. But to set this up, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Now, check this out. He's not done. "But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Okay, so the Holy Spirit can reveal to you more than you've ever experienced before. More than you've ever known before, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit can reveal God to you. So here's my challenge to you as we get ready for 2026 is go deeper with God. Go deeper with God. And one of the ways that you can go deeper with God is to read the Bible every day. And I just want to encourage you, here's another plug you might say for something out in the lobby, and it is the one-year Bible. You don't have to have the physical one-year Bible to do this. You can get it on the Bible app and just use it on your phone. But however you want to use it and whatever method you want to use, listening to it, reading a physical copy of the scriptures, whatever works best for you. What's nice about a physical copy of the scriptures is it's just easy to go back through it. And especially if you highlight some things, then it's pretty easy to pick those things up. But I want to encourage you, get deeper in God's word this new year. I'll talk more about that in January, but come on, get deeper in God's word. Today, I want to talk to you about baptisms. We're getting ready to have baptisms, water baptisms that are going to take place. But I want to talk to you about three experiences that the Bible describes in detail for us to take us deeper with God. And so in preparation for this message, turn to the person next to you and say, dive deeper. Yeah. Dive deeper. Dive deeper. All right. Some of you are ready to go somewhere warm and get in a pool, all right? But that's not what I'm talking about, although we've got a little pool back here that we'll be using in a minute. Here's the first experience that the Bible says that can come to you as you do what I preached about on Christmas Eve services. By the way, weren't those services just awesome? Just like Josh said, oh my gosh. The worship team just brought it. People's hands in the air to commit their lives to Christ. Maybe you're here today because you did that this week. Here's what happened to you is this first experience. Baptism into the body of Christ. That's how it's described. And what this is salvation. When you get saved, the scripture says, and I'll show it to you in a moment, that you're baptized into the body of Christ. Now, who performs this baptism into the body of Christ? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. Check this out, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For we were all, what? Baptized by one Spirit into one body. He says it very plainly there. Paul says, when you joined Jesus, you also joined the family. How many, when you're advising your children who are of maybe marital years, you warn them, caution them that you marry the family too, right? Come on, somebody. Some of you didn't know that, right? Till you got married. And it's like, oh no, everybody, Crazy Larry and Uncle Harry, you know, all those people, they're part of the deal. And so when we join Jesus, listen, we join his family. And so you can't say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, I love you, but I hate your body. I love you, Jesus, but I don't want to get around your family. No, if you love Jesus, if you've been baptized into Jesus by the Holy Spirit, then you are a part of the family, and that's why we gather as a family. Galatians 3:26 says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Again, you are baptized into Christ. And notice, that's what makes you a child of God. Let me just quickly say, everybody's not a child of God. Okay, I know people say that. Okay, I know people say that. But it's not true, according to the Bible. Okay, what is true is you become a child of God. And to become a child of God, you have to get adopted. Just being born once isn't good enough. Jesus said to one guy, hey, you got to be born again. You got to be born twice. And the guy was like, how can I get in my mother's womb and be born again? That is like weird stuff, you know? And Jesus is like, no. You were born physically that way, but you get born again spiritually. How many have experienced that, right? You experienced it for yourself. So, in other words, there's more life to life. Okay, just being born once, that's awesome. But being born twice is even better, right? It's even better. And what happens is then our spirit is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says our spirit bears witness with his spirit. So we get baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Because somebody says, well, you know, they don't have the Holy Spirit because they don't speak in tongues. Or they don't have the Holy Spirit because they don't have spiritual gifts or whatever. You know, and that is not true. Because you can't be born again according to Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so if you're saved, the help of the Holy Spirit got you saved. You were drawn to Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and he baptized you into Jesus by his mighty power. And again, how many are glad for that? Okay. And there could be some people here who need that one. You've gone to church. You've done churchy things. You've done Christian things. And you've hung around Christians. And you've done some churchy stuff. But you're not born again. Okay? And today is your day to get born again. To get born by the Spirit of God. Into Jesus and join his family. And the next baptism is a separate baptism. So we have to be careful not to put these two together. Here's the second baptism. First of all, baptism into the body of Christ. Second baptism is water baptism. We're going to watch that in a few moments. It is this. The public declaration of my faith. I show on the outside what God did on the inside. Now, who performs this baptism? It's a disciple of Jesus. Okay? A disciple of Jesus. A physical part of Jesus' body on this earth helps us to be baptized in water. Now, let me be clear, because some people put those first two baptisms together. And I want to say, you are not saved by getting baptized in water. Okay? You're saved by getting baptized by the Holy Spirit into Jesus. There's nothing you can do to add to or to somehow earn or obtain salvation into your life. It is not by your works, Paul said, so that you can boast about it. It is all about him. He did all of it for you. He came down the ladder, somebody. We're saved by grace, so there's nothing you can do. So in other words, you could get baptized in this church and a church down the road and a church in Oklahoma and a church in New York and a church in Guatemala or somewhere, all right? And still not be saved because it's not what you do, it's what he does that gets you saved. But after you're saved, well, let's read it. Acts 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized. So over and over and over again, you can check this out, fact check it in the book of Acts, read through the book of Acts. They were saved and then they were baptized. Saved and baptized. They believed and they were baptized. It tells us that after we're saved, then we get baptized in water. And it doesn't take 12 months of perfecting your life. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody right now. So you can get good enough to get in the water. Let me tell you something. You're never going to be good enough to get in the water. You're not that good, and you never will be that good. All right? He saved you not in light of you, but in spite of you. And so as a result, as soon as you get saved, you can get baptized. That means today. So let me say something. Don't omit this step. Don't just say, well, you know, I think you already said, I'm saved, so I'm good to go. No, because you haven't fully obeyed. You need to stay in obedience. Sure, you can't add to it, but it's kind of like you won that multi-billion, what was it, $1.6 billion lottery this last week. I think that's what it was. Some of you know, because you... You know, I was praying for you to win, too, all right? No. So, but it's like you've got the ticket, the winning ticket, and then you don't cash it in. That's what it is to be saved, but not get baptized in water. It's like, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you carry through? Because baptism is like a wedding ring, is how I like to describe it. Okay, I'm not married because I wear it. In other words, I can't take it off and then act single. How many know that ain't gonna work too well? It's not the secret to a long life, all right? So it's not the ring that makes me married. Are you following me? But I wear it so other people know I am married. And baptism in water doesn't make you saved. It just shows everybody I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said this, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. How many know I want that? If I'll acknowledge him, he's going to acknowledge it. Maybe he's not done. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And so we want God to be proud of us. We want him to acknowledge us. We want to earn his favor on our lives. And besides, what has he done for you? Can you not get baptized in water for him? And kids that are in our church family, listen, here's how that works, parents. They're taught about baptism as well. It's part of our curriculum. It's part of what we share with the kids. And when the child knows, okay, we think it's probably close to 8. And I know some of you have overachievers. You know who you are too, you know. Your kid, you know, nobody's seen a kid like your kid. I know. But what we do, we ask them, can you explain to me why you want to get baptized? And if the answer is because my buddy did it, or my girlfriend's going to do it here, no. that you're not ready yet, right? Because you do it because Jesus has come into your life and you want to show on the outside what Jesus has done on the inside. And so what we do with babies here, just real quick, is we do for them what Jesus' mom and dad did for him. They brought him to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. It's what Samuel's mom and dad did with him in the Old Testament. There's no record in all of the scripture of an infant being baptized in water. The word baptism means to dip under. And so what it does is it symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in a person's life. So sprinkling doesn't do it, okay? And I know if some of you were sprinkled, and I'm glad your family had a great time and a good experience, and I'm sure it was special, and maybe it was all they knew to do. God bless them for that. They were trying, right? They were doing all they knew to do. But I'm just telling you, if that's all you've had, there's more to baptism than that. It's to be buried with Christ and resurrected with Christ. And it's an act of obedience unto him. Now I want to talk about a third baptism that maybe a bunch of you have never even heard about. Or you might have heard about, but you didn't hear about it straight from the Bible. And so I want to share with you the biblical third step, okay? There's a step here for everybody. All of us can go deeper in the Holy Spirit. Some of you to get saved. Some of you to get up out of your seat today. I know you didn't plan to get water baptized, but God wants you to anyway. We have everything you need, including a blow dryer. We have change of clothes, several many sizes, that'll stretch to fit, whatever, okay? And we've got even plastic. If you want to go home wet, your seats won't get wet. We got plastic you can cover the seat of your car, drive home wet, and finish getting ready at home. I'm just saying, don't let anything hold you back from this experience. We have about 10 people already signed up to be baptized today. And some of them are going out already, all right? Here's the third baptism, though. The Bible, let me just say this. The Bible talks about this one, this third one, more than the other two. So if you say, well, I believe in those other two. Oh, Pastor, I believe in those, you know. Well, then you need to believe in this one because it's mentioned even more. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. What's that for? What is it for? Listen, it's living spirit empowered. Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So who is the baptizer? It's Jesus. Jesus himself. Let me prove it to you. John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water. That's what I do. But someone's coming who's greater than me. I shouldn't even be able to tie his shoes. And when he comes, he's going to baptize you, not in water, but in the Spirit. So Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. But here, I got to be careful. I got to say a word of caution because some people, just like they get that first baptism into Christ and the water baptism kind of put together, some people get this spirit one mixed in there too. and tell people, hey, if you want to get to heaven, you better speak in tongues. And I'm just telling you, you speaking in tongues is not going to open the gates of heaven. Only the blood of Jesus covers our sin. Okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria, proclaimed the Christ there. Okay, so he preached. Does everybody agree? He preached to these people. And notice what they did. When they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. So they believed. How many think they got saved? Right? That he preached the gospel and they accepted, they believed the gospel. And then notice what happened. They were baptized, both men and women. So they got that first baptism into Christ. They got the second baptism into water, but the story's not over. In verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now check this out, all my Baptist friends and whatever right now, okay, and whatever you grew up in, check this out, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So they got the first baptism. They got saved. Everybody sees that? Then they got water baptized. But then they said, oh, there's another one. There's another one that you can receive. And notice what they did. Peter and John placed their hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. They got baptized by Jesus. It was a separate experience. Do you see that? So there's a baptism into Jesus, a baptism in water, and a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And each one is intended to become a deeper experience in God. God wants to take you deeper. Matter of fact, turn to the person you didn't pick and choose to turn to last time and say, you need to go deeper. You need to go deeper. All right. And I'm including myself, okay? We all need to go deeper. Here's what it says, and then I'm going to finish up. There are three, look at this in 1 John. Some of you have never seen this scripture. You've never seen the scripture, or you've never really fully seen it. For there are three that bear witness, where? In heaven. Okay, who's in heaven? The Father, the Word, who's the Word? Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Does everybody see that? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in heaven. And then there are three that bear witness where? On the earth. Okay, what are those? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. How many think the blood might symbolize being saved, right? We're saved by the blood of Jesus. And water, that's the water baptism. And then the Spirit is spirit baptism. And these three agree as one. See, I grew up hearing this. I had the blessing, the absolute blessing of hearing this. And as a result of seeing the power of the Holy Spirit, because again, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He didn't say, you will speak in tongues all day long. Off and on, or whatever. But he did say, you're going to receive power. There's no doubt that the Holy Spirit is on you because you will move in power. When Jesus was baptized in water, we see it with Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as in the form of a dove. Does anybody remember that story? And you can look it up, check it out. And when that happened, after that, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Before that, he didn't do those miracles like that. But after the Holy Spirit descended, what is that saying to you and I? It is saying to you and I that we need something beyond ourselves. We need something more than us. If you need healing, if you need deliverance, if you need God to break chains in your life, I'm telling you, you're not enough, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I gotta watch. I get excited about this, all right? It's a separate experience, and I'm telling you, God wants this church to be a life-giving church in this community so that when people say, oh, you've got cancer, oh, you've got heart disease, oh, you've got marriage problems, oh, you've got an addiction that you can't break, I'll tell you what church you ought to go to. You ought to go over there to that Crossroads church because they'll pray for you in the power of the Holy Spirit. You need more. You need more. And I want to challenge you today to go all in. Go all in. I still need more. This church, we need more. We need to see more of God's power, more miraculous. Listen, a year and a half ago, I had a stroke right here in this pulpit, went to the hospital, nothing they could do for me. They didn't give me that miracle drug or whatever. They did not. They did not give that to me. But a man who does miracles called Jesus stepped into the emergency room of IU West, and my speech came back to me in a moment. No drugs, no nothing that happened, but all of a sudden, and yes, there was a spiritual warfare even through the night, but I'm telling you, I stand here today, a year and a half later, as a testimony of the healing power of God. He can do it. He can do it. So why are some reluctant? Let me just quickly go through this. Some are just uninformed. You didn't hear about it. Acts 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road to the interior, arrived at Ephesus. He found some disciples. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, our church, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And some of you grew up that way. You didn't know there was more. But I'm telling you, you read your Bible, and Peter, after the Holy Spirit came on him, he went from an evader, evading, oh no, I'm not with him, to an evangelist for him. Some have grown apathetic. And that's dangerous, to just be like, oh, well, so God's got more. Mm-mm. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let me tell you something. You think times are rough now? The Bible says, perilous times are going to come in the last days. You haven't seen anything yet. And I wouldn't want to go through the last days without the mighty power of the Spirit of God over my family, over my life, over this church. Power to speak, power to serve. I mean, it's an exciting life. Why would you want anything less than that? Why would you settle? Some of you have been lied to, saying, oh, you know, the devil does this. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. It does not change like the shifting shadows. Let me tell you something. If the devil causes you to get that stuff that people say the Holy Spirit does, it's the best thing the devil's ever done for me, all right? Because it makes me want to read the Bible more. It makes me want to preach it more. It makes me want to love Jesus more. It makes me want to worship him more. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. There's blessings on baptism. So pursue all God has for you. Because some have fear. Some have fear. But here's what I was to say. Let me just wrap this up. Would you just give us a year of your life in 2026? And just go all in with God and see where you are a year from now. You see what God does for you. Just go all in for God. Just go all in with him. Because I'll tell you, whatever you have today is not all that he has. In Ezekiel 47, just real quickly, as a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through water that was ankle deep. Okay, this is where many people stop in their experience with the Lord. Ankle deep. It's like they get saved, they made a confession of faith, and then that's it. But look at what he says, there's more. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through water that was knee deep. And some people, that's what they settle for. Well, I got baptized in water, and that's good. But how many have ever seen a bunch of adults in the kiddie pool? Doesn't that look ridiculous? You know, here's this big, beautiful pool over here, and everybody's just wading around in the kiddie pool. Oh, no, most people say, I want more. I want more. There's more, and I want it. And look at what he says. He measured off 1,000, led me through water that was up to the waist. And maybe that's when we start getting involved in church and things like that. He measured off 1,000, and now it was a river I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. I want to challenge you this year, get in so deep that you lose control. Get in so deep that God's guiding you. God's directing you. It's not where I want to go. See, I like it here safe, Pastor Craig, because then I can walk wherever I want to walk. I can do whatever I want to do. I can choose to go wherever I want to go. Oh, but Ezekiel says, no, there's more. There's more. You can get up so high that you're just losing control. And now you just go wherever the river flows. You go wherever the river flows. And look at verse 9. There will be large numbers of fish. Because this water flows there, and it makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Everything will live. See, if you'd get in the deep waters, your marriage would live. If you get in the deep over your head with God, oh, your kids would be blessed. Your finances, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Get in so deep with God this year. And here's what that might look like. Let me just say this before I pray. You may have to cancel some things in the new year. You may have to align some priorities. Because what's most important to you? Is it that your kids are filled with the mighty Spirit of God? or that they get involved in extracurricular stuff? What's your priority at your house? Maybe I'm stepping on toes right now, but you pray about it. You pray about it. Because what I know is God wants a life-giving church in Hendricks County where the power of Almighty God is what's most important, not the clock, not our activities, not anything else. What's most important is His agenda. Can I get a good amen today, church? Where do you need to go deeper? Let's pray. Father, you know where we are. Some of us, maybe we need that first baptism. Maybe you're here today while I'm praying and you say, Craig, I don't think I've ever really been saved. Or maybe I was saved, but I've walked away from God. But today, I need to get back to God. I need God in my life. Will you just raise a hand all over this room if that's you? Just say, yes, yes, I need Jesus in my life. I need that first baptism. I need to be born again of the Spirit of God. If that's your desire, if that's your prayer, pray this prayer after me. Come on, everybody, pray it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid it all so that I can be saved. Today I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who prayed that prayer. Oh, yeah, all heaven rejoices. Listen, on the back side of your communication card or connection card, on the front side there, there's two boxes that you can check. One is, I committed my life to Christ. The other is, I recommitted my life to Christ. Depending on which one you did, just go ahead and mark that card right now. Now, I want to extra challenge you, okay? I'm putting two services worth of preaching into one, all right, everybody? I've been praying for some of you that today you'd take a big step, a bold step, a step maybe some of you have never done before, and that is to get baptized in water. I'm about to run backstage, change my clothes, and go back here to baptize people. I would love to baptize you today, all right? So if that's you, if I'm talking to you right now, again, no excuses. There's no reason why you can't do it. Get up on your feet right now. Yeah, yeah. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, come on. And follow me. Go back here. Go back here right now. Go on back here. Go on back here right now and get baptized. If you have yet to do that, now here I want to speak and then I'm going to run back there real quick. Okay, I'm going over time, so they're mad at me back there. But I want this one for so many of you to receive the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit into your life. I'm just telling you, when you look at me and you say, oh, Craig, you just so great up there. Oh, I just love to hear you preach and whatever. Let me tell you something. That is not me. I am a shy teenage boy on the inside who never wanted to get up in front of anybody. Just freaked me out to even think about doing it. But once he came and filled me with his mighty power, I cannot help but preach about him and tell about him. He changed me. So it's him. It's him. And I want that to happen in you. I want that to happen in you. And so I want you to stand to your feet, and our worship team is going to lead us in a worship song. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. I know we're busy people, but would you just give God this morning? And let's just, maybe you worship. Maybe this is what it's going to look like. Instead of doing this, you're going to do this today. And you're going to say, God, I need you. I need your power. Oh, my marriage needs your power. My kids need your power. My career, I'm losing direction. God, I need you today. I don't know where it is in your life, but I do know that once you receive his power in your life, you'll never be the same again. Come on, hands in the air, worship team, lead us. If you need baptized, follow me back here.